Amen. Is that anybody's testimony tonight? That the Lord has made a difference in my life. You ought to get real serious about that and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, things I used to do, I don't do no more. He made a difference in my life. I don't walk the same. I don't talk the same. If you look at me good, I don't look the same. I don't act the same. God has made the difference. He picked me up, dusted me off, put me on a street called straight, and I'm better now because of what the Lord has done for me. Thank you, St. Stephen's, for letting us know about the difference the Lord has made in our lives. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Our Father and our God, we thank you today for your love and your mercy towards each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, because you've brought us a mighty long way. If the truth be told, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And so tonight we do not come trying to be braggadocious with our chest stuck out like we've done anything and can take any of the credit. But Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor and the glory. Because as we look back over our lives, we realize if it had not been for you, was on our side, we would have been cut off a long time ago. And so tonight we come to say thank you. Thank you for your loving kindnesses. Thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for looking beyond our faults, seeing our every need. So Lord, we ask now that you might have your way. Give me preaching power. Not so that people might marvel over me, but so that they might glorify you. Because you're the source of our strength. And you're the strength of our lives. And your name alone is worthy to be praised. Sensitize me now to the needs of your people. And give me preaching power. Oh God, touch me now so that I might speak truth to power. The oracles of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and we count it done today. And all who love the Lord shout hallelujah, shout glory to God, shout amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, he's been better than that. Come on, your house is bigger than that. Come on, your car rides better than that. You got more clothes in your closet than that. Come on, you got more money in your account than that. You ate better than that today. Come on. Somebody ought to bless him because he's blessed you. For the mighty God we serve, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, I serve a mighty God. And he's able, he's able, he's able to do anything but fail. We thank God and we honor God in the spirit of Christ. We are so honored again to come to be able to share here again at the Greater Brookville Church. Amen. It is a blessing to be in your presence again on this year. For this series of services, we are honored by the presence and the invitation of your great pastor, the under-shepherd, the angel, the bishop, the pope. Come on, let's celebrate Pastor Leroy Mitchell. Come on. Thank God for him, my friend and my brother. Amen. We thank God for this man of God who is at the helm of the ship. Amen. And whether this be a three-hour tour tonight or a 15-minute special, amen, we honor God for Pastor Leroy Mitchell. We certainly thank God for Lady Mitchell. Amen. We certainly honor her. We bless God for her. Amen. Amen. She don't walk behind him, but she stands beside him strong. Amen. And we thank God for this dynamic duo that they have right here at Greater Brookville. Amen. Thank God for all of the other pastors and preachers, and to all of you, the people of God. We certainly thank God for your presence here tonight. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? I said it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. And we thank God for this opportunity. Certainly thank God for St. Stephen's blessing us, their music ministry. Let's give it up for them again. Amen. Thank God for them. They came to give God the glory. Amen. They came to praise him. And I'm not going to worry you long on tonight. I know this is the first night of revival. And I know first night is the test night. Amen. Y'all come to test to see if the preacher can preach. Y'all see if he gonna be long. Amen. See how he look. Amen. It determines whether you gonna come back another night. Come on, I know something about this. Amen. And so we want to, amen, go ahead and do what the Lord has given us and get out your way so that I'll pass the test night. Amen. In the gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, there is a word tonight. Luke, the first chapter, there is a word tonight that we want to lift up in your hearing. Amen. So good to see familiar faces. Amen. Y'all looking younger every time I come here. Amen. It seems like I'm getting older and grayer. I'm going to have to start drinking Lynchburg water. Amen. Amen. Something going on around here. Amen. I got to do something. Amen. Luke, the first chapter, and beginning at verse number 39. Luke 1 and beginning at verse 39. When you have it, say amen. Amen. You'll find these words. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk tonight for the few moments that are mine to share from the thought of the theme or the subject, before I come out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, before I come out. It's interesting because in this world, in this life, we are used to things going in a certain sequential order. There is this common pattern that comes with our human deoxyribonucleic acid. Our DNA is set up that we think that there should be a beginning, a middle, and an ending to everything. As a matter of fact, even in Christendom, even in church, we want this certain order to happen. That's why we have bulletins, and that's why we have this order of service, if you will, because we expect life to go as planned. We do not plan for life to slip in and do things outside of the way we want it to happen. As a matter of fact, the business or the financial world years ago penned this particular phrase by saying no one plans to fail, they just fail to plan. All of us try and have a plan of action and order for our lives. Most of us have routines that we go through every day. We wake up, we stretch, we hit the snooze button two or three times. We have this order or this sequence of events that we go through almost every day. But you got to understand and realize that when it comes to doing things God's way, you've got to understand that God never does things according to the way we plan for him to do it. God is sovereign. That means he has the opportunity and the order to be able to do things the way he wants to do them, how he wants to do them, whenever he wants to do them. And we as church folk, we get so big and so bold that sometimes we get angry with God because he shows up at a time we didn't plan for him to show up. As a matter of fact, even in Christendom and in church, we try to put God in this order box according to our own mindsets, that we feel that there ought to be revelation, then manifestation, and then there'll be celebration. But how many know God doesn't operate in the order that you want him to operate? I heard someone say that he may not come when you want him. But how many know he's an on-time God? He'll show up sometime when you least expect it. He'll show up sometime at the craziest moments. And God does not expect us to have to celebrate after we get our blessing. How many know that we can celebrate even before God works it out? Here in this text, I won't hold you long. We find Zacharias. We know that Zacharias was a worker in the temple. And here at the beginning of this particular chapter, Zacharias, who was responsible for the incense at the altar in the temple. Zacharias was used to encounters with the Holy One. And all of a sudden, an angel showed up and caught Zacharias off guard. And you know what? It's a shame that the people of God can be around the things of God every day and get caught by surprise when God shows up. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach it here. You know, that's the problem with church folk today. God has been trying to do some stuff in your life, but you don't even recognize him when he shows up to do it. You start looking at him like he's some ghost. Y'all ain't gonna help me, but you gotta understand that when the Lord shows up, it's his way and not our way. Here, Zacharias is surprised by the visitation of the holy angel, and he comes in, gives Zacharias these instructions, and as a matter of fact, Zacharias loses his voice because of his lack of faith and lack of focus. But you got to understand that that's the major problem that we deal with in Christendom, is that we got too many folk in the house of God who are losing their voice. You got to understand, when you lose your voice, you have lost your validity. You have lost your value. You have lost your opportunity to be able to minister. Because what is a preacher without a voice? Y'all ain't gonna help me here. You gotta understand that when Zacharias lost his voice, he lost almost everything. He really should have been laid off until the time that God gave it back to him. So it is here, as Elizabeth now is with child, because the angel gives her this hortatory message that you're gonna get pregnant, your wife's gonna have the baby y'all been praying for. Zacharias just doubted, and all of a sudden God did what he said he was going to do. So you got to understand the reason why they doubted it, because it was not in the sequential order that they felt it should have came. Elizabeth was barren. She didn't have, she was past the time. She was an old woman. And Zacharias must have not been doing what they used to do for a while, because that's why he doubted. But the text says when he went home, he must have done what he thought he couldn't do. Some of y'all will get that later on. So it is here, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is at home. Elizabeth is now with child. And this same angel is on assignment again. He shows up again to talk to Mary, Elizabeth's cousin. The Bible says when he gives her a similar message, he tells her, you're going to have a baby. But you ain't going to just have any baby. You're going to have the Holy One. Your baby is going to be special. As a matter of fact, you are highly favored among women. You got to understand, we don't practice Catholicism, so we don't believe that she's favored above women, but she's favored among. Y'all ain't going to help me. So it is here, as Mary gets this message from the angel, Mary only asks, how can this be, being that I have never done the thing? Amen. How can this be? And the angel says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and that's what's going to make it happen. After she heard that the Holy Ghost was going to do it, she said, let it be. And she ran all the way to Judah, to where Elizabeth's house was. And I want to put a pin right here and let you know that whenever the Holy Ghost does something in your life, it ought to make you do something. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. What happens in your life when the Holy Ghost moves upon you? See, we come to church and act like the power ain't moving. That's because we ain't used to feeling the power. But whenever the Holy Ghost moves in your life, it ought to make your hands go up. It ought to make your shoulders go to rocking. Anybody ever been driving down the street in your car and the Lord just made you think of his goodness and all he done for you, and your hands went up in the air? I wish I had a witness here that would just think about the Holy Ghost. It made Mary run. What is it gonna make you do? So it is. Here the text says that the Holy Ghost made Mary run. She ran all the way down to Judah, to the hill country, to Elizabeth's house. And the text says when she walks in Elizabeth's house, it says that she just spoke to Elizabeth. She said, hey, girl, what's happening, child? How you doing, baby? Hello. She just gave a simple salutation. And I want to know what happens when you speak to folks. What happens to people when you enter into their house and speak to them? Listen, just the matter of you entering in and opening your mouth, it ought to affect who it is that you're around. If you got the hope, y'all ain't gonna help me. I wish I had a real church here. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you really got the Holy Ghost, your words ought to do something to me. Yeah, it ought to make me happy to hear that you're in the house. It ought to make something happen on the inside of me. Just the fact that you came in. But you got to understand that when church folk come to church, other folk look at you funny. Folk look you up and down, act like you ain't even present in the place. Like Pastor Mitchell was saying, you get that holy look on your face like you stink or somebody else stink, and you don't even want to be bothered, don't want to sit by nobody. The devil is a liar. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, you ain't no better than me. Yeah, you ain't nothing but dirt. Amen. Some of us light-skinned dirt and some of us dark-skinned dirt, but we ain't nothing but dirt. Because in the beginning, God scooped up the dirt and he breathed into his nostril. Who you think you are that you can't speak to your neighbor? So it is. Here, Mary walks into Elizabeth's house. I'm almost finished. And it says that just at the salutation of Mary, Elizabeth had this incredible reaction. It says that the baby in her womb leaped. Now, let me slow down here for a moment because y'all ladies help me out. I've heard of a baby kicking in the womb. Does that happen? I've heard of a baby punching when it's in the womb. I've heard of a baby adjusting themselves, moving around while they're in your stomach. I've even heard of them, somebody said, the baby's having a party tonight. Feel like he's doing the electric slide because they have a whole lot of movement at some time. I've even been privileged to put my hand on my wife's belly and feel my own seed moving in the womb. But this is the only time I ever heard that a baby leaped. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Leaped while he was in the womb. I done heard of all that other stuff, but I never, this is the only place, maybe you heard of it, but I ain't never heard of a baby leaping while he was in the womb. You know what it taught me? What it told me is that we have the ability to celebrate the Lord even if we can't see him. Even if we can't see him moving, we ought to know that he's there. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he'll be in the midst. So since he's in the room, somebody ought to be. You ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Somebody ought to be thankful that the Lord is in the room. You ought to look at somebody and say, you ain't got to wait till no organ start. You ain't got to wait till the preacher start tuning. Just the knowing that it's two or three in the room, the Lord is here, that ought to make you jump. John, I'm almost through. John shows us and teaches us a great lesson here. John shows me something, Pastor Mitchell, that really blessed my bones. John shows me that there is something I can do before I come out of what I'm in.
Yeah. I love.
How many have ever been in some stuff? How many have ever gone through some things? How many have ever been in some stuff you didn't wish on your worst enemy? How many have ever been had your back against the wall? How many have ever gone through hell and high water? How many have ever been sick and down and broke and been talked about and laughed at? Name ran through the mud. How many have ever been in some stuff? John shows us that we can do something. We can celebrate while we're in a dark place. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Listen, while he was in a dark, tight situation and could not see his way through, he still had the sense that when the Lord showed up, to just leap where he was. And I wish I had somebody that's going through some hell in your life. You don't know how it's going to work out, but you know the Lord is in the room with you. That ought to cause you to leap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Not only does John show us that we have the ability to celebrate or leap while we're in a dark place. But he also shows us we have the ability to celebrate or leap while we're in the development process.
Good word.
Lord. Wow, listen, John is only 6 months along. He is still being worked on. God ain't through. Y'all ain't gonna help me with him yet. And I'm looking at some people that if the Lord brought you out now, you would be premature and it would be dangerous for you and you may not make it. Oh, I wish I had a real church here. See, you got to understand, if you come out prematurely, you got to be hooked up to a whole lot of lifelines in order to make it. But I wish I had somebody that would holler, I want to be full term. That's why I'm willing to stay in my development process. And in the meantime and in between time, I'll just give God the glory until he finishes working on me. Touch your neighbors and stay where you are. Stop trying to ask God to bring you out. He ain't ready for you to be delivered. You got to just stay there in your problem and wait on God. I'm not going to hold y'all longer. Y'all don't want to hear this tonight. Not only does John show us that we have the ability to leap while we're in the dark place. And I can tell you, I've been in some dark places in my life. I'm looking at some other folk that have been in some dark places. Matter of fact, I'm looking at some people tonight that are in a dark place right now. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I came to let you know, just stay where you are. God is still working on your behalf. Matter of fact, there's some of you that are still in your development process. It ain't ready for you to come out yet. Because if you come out now, you're going to die. But I wish I had somebody to know, if you just hold on to God and stay connected to the one that he's blessed, how many know everything is going to be all right? Got to understand that if I come out now, I could lose my life. But I'm willing to stay where God has placed me in order for God to get the glory out of my life. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is still working on me. I ain't ready yet. I'm still under construction. God still got me in the oven. God ain't through with me yet. But when God gets through, I'm going to come out and I'm going to be all right. Do I have any witnesses here? And so it is. John, he teaches us that we can celebrate while we're in a dark place. He teaches us we can celebrate while we're in the development process. But he also shows me one last thing, that he gave me the ability to leap while I'm in the delivery position. Do I have any witnesses here? You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, take a good look at me now. Take a selfie with me now. Because when God gets through with me, I ain't going to look the same. I might not be ready now, but I'm in position. I'm next in line. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready, because it's getting ready to happen. God's getting ready to bring me out of what I'm in. And when I come out, I ain't gonna just leap, but I'm gonna dance. Do I have a witness here? But in the meantime, and in between time, while I'm still in it, you're wondering what I'm gonna do. I ain't gonna have a pity party. I ain't gonna complain. I ain't gonna fault fight. I ain't gonna talk about nobody. I ain't gonna look at nobody else crazy. But while I'm in my mess, while I'm in my problem, the only thing I know how to do is give God the glory, because he didn't put me in what I'm in to destroy me. He put me in here to make me better. Do I have any witnesses here that knows God is getting ready to do something in your life? But while you're in there, just stay there. Chill out. Take a chill pill. Let God work it out. And won't he do it? Y'all not going to help me tonight. Won't God work it out? Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Won't he do it? Won't he bring you out? Anybody ever been down? Anybody ever been sick? Didn't God work it out? Didn't he touch your body? Didn't he touch your mind? Didn't he touch your spirit? You ought to testify to your neighbor. Say, neighbor,
Look at me. I've been through, but I'm out now. Shout a yeah. Shout a yeah. So what I'm going to do while I'm in is the same thing I'll do when I get out. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to shout glory. Shout hallelujah. Shout he's worthy.
Too many of us, we miss our miracle by trying to do something before it's time. Do you realize while you're going through stuff, that's the time to praise God? It's easy to praise him when you get out. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. It reminds me of when last year, I was sharing with Pastor. I did a revival in a prison. First time I'd ever been to a prison for anything. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never gone in there for anything, when they start shutting them gates behind you, you feel some kind of way. Do I have any witnesses here? And so when I went into prison, as a matter of fact, the chaplain told me after the last gate shut, he said, "You all right?" He said, "Because a whole lot of preachers have not been able to make it past this point. They said, let me back out of here." But I told him God had given me an assignment. And he said, I told him I ain't going to turn around now. While I'm in here, I'm going to do what God told me to do. When we went into the place, over 200 inmates came in. They were talking about how they had been there 25, 28, 30 years. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I had an epiphany right there. Because here, this man was sitting next to me who had been in for 32 years. But when the service opened up, he began to give God the glory. I looked at the man. I said, how in the world, after 32 years, you can give God the glory? He said, it's simple, because if I hadn't praised him while I was in here, how in the world he gonna bless me when I get out of here? Do I have any witnesses that while you're locked up, you ain't locked out? While you're going through, it doesn't mean God ain't got his hand in your situation. I wish I had a real church that would lift up your hand and tell God, thank you. Thank you for the problem. Thank you for the headaches. Thank you for the brokenness. Thank you for what I'm going through. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Shout a yeah. Shout a yeah. Shout a yeah. Before I come out, there's something I can do. John praised the Lord, not even knowing him. He just heard his mother speak to his mother. And it was something about the presence of the Lord that caused him to leap in the womb. And his mama was filled with the Holy Ghost from the moment John leaped in her womb, because they were connected. I want somebody to hear me. Everyone standing to your feet. Let me tell you something. There is a prize in being connected to the right folk. If you're connected to the right thing, God can bless you by default. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Listen, I would rather hang out with a billionaire than somebody broke. Hear me, I ain't trying to be all that. Hear what I'm saying. Because if I hang out with my broke friends, I may laugh a lot, but I'm gonna do broke stuff. Y'all ain't gonna hear me in here. See, y'all trying to act all like that. Y'all, you know the reason why y'all ain't shouting? Because you're standing next to your broke friend. Amen. But if you hang out with billionaires, guess what? You're going to do billionaire stuff. You're going to ride on jet planes. Eh? You're going to eat at the finest. Y'all ain't going to help me. That's why I'm connected to the Lord. Because the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hill. And if he eats steak, that means I can too. So it is what you got to understand, that if you've been going through too much, maybe it's you need to check your connection. Every now and then the TV gets fuzzy. That's because the wires have shaken loose. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. Sometimes you got to plug them in tighter. And I'm telling you here, Greater Brookville, sometimes when stuff gets shaky and shady in your life, you need to check your connection and just plug in tighter. John shows us tonight that relationship means a whole lot. John said, listen, I'll praise him even not knowing him because I've already received the instructions from heaven of what my assignment is when I get to earth. See, a lot of us, we act like we are surprised when God starts moving in our life. Just play softly. We act like we're shocked. Pastor Mitchell and I were talking last night, and I was talking about how I liken the call to ministry, how I liken what it is to be called. All of us have a calling. All of us have a gift. Problem with most of us is that we're walking around with the gift that God has given us and we're scared to open it. How in the world can you use it to help me if you won't even open it? The call is like this. A whole lot of people have been called, but they won't come forward. Here's what the call is like. The Bible says in Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth into your mother's womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. That's what he told Jeremiah. He likens the call to be in heaven before God puts you into your mother's womb. Your spirit and his spirit walking through the garden, walking through heaven. God tells you all of the things that you're going to do in your ministry. Tells you how you're going to be, how he's going to use you, how he's going to give you daily ministry opportunities. But then when he gets you there to the place where he's getting ready to put you in flesh, he looks at you and says, listen, you're not going to remember this conversation, but you will remember my voice. How many of you have heard the voice of God? But you didn't come forward. You were afraid because even though you recognized the voice, there was familiarity in the voice, you were still fearful of what the call was. John, even before he was born, accepted the challenge of God because he knew being on God's team was going to be more beneficial than being on the world's team. Tonight, there's somebody here that's been going through some stuff. And the reason why you don't celebrate is because what you've been going through has been reminding you of down stuff. And you've forgotten the call. You've forgotten the voice. You've forgotten what God has told you, that, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. That no matter what you go through, I'm going to be there. He said, if you make your bed in hell, guess what? I'm going to be right there. And so you got to understand and realize that God's got you no matter where you go. If you have not been challenged by the enemy, that means he's got your life. But if the devil has been messing with you, that lets you know you must be a threat to his kingdom. Tonight, somebody is going through. I'm going to tell you the answer for your going through. Woo.
enemy get no joy out of you going through. Do you know something? When the enemy hits you, if you say, ouch, guess what? He knows where you hurt. But if he hits you and you say, hallelujah, the enemy will back up and start scratching his head. Wait a minute. They're willing to praise God even while they're in their mess. Tonight, somebody needs to come. You need to come with your hands lifted high saying, here I am, Lord. That no matter what I go through, I'm going to give you the glory. No matter what I'm in, I'm still going to have my hands lifted up. I'm going to surrender to you because I know that what I'm going through is not to destroy me. It's only to develop me. It's only to make me better. It's only to bring me to the destiny that you've called me to be, that you created me for. You didn't create me for this. I'm not made for this. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not here for this. You're here for something greater. You got to understand, until you are willing to praise God and give him the credit, even in the bad times, how in the world is he going to bless you? And how can you appreciate the good times? Tonight, you need to come to this altar with your hands lifted up saying, Lord, I need thee every day and every hour. Even in the midst of what I'm going through, I'm going to trust you. I may not be able to trace you, but I know you know what you're doing. Because I can praise you before. I can praise you just like they did when they walked around the walls of Jericho. Before the wall came down, they shouted. So I can shout too. Even before you bring me out. If you're here tonight, you need God to do something to you or for you while you're in your stuff, while you're going through the problems. I know you are. Don't try to hide it. I know. There's somebody here tonight that you haven't been sleeping well. I hear the Spirit. Tonight, if you're here, I need you to come to this altar. The Lord wants to give you rest. He wants to give you a word for your situation. You haven't been sleeping well. If you're here, come on. When I came in and sat down after I prayed, the Lord lets me be sensitive to the needs of the people in the house. My back started hurting. My lower back. Matter of fact, on the right side, I can feel it right now. It's not my pain. It's somebody else's in here. If you're here tonight, just come. Just come. Just bring it to the Lord. You got to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody's not been sleeping well. If you're here, just come. The Lord wants to give you rest. The Lord wants to give you peace. Come on. Come on. Come on. Will you trust the Lord enough to surrender to him tonight? If John can do it while he was in his mother's womb, and you've privileged to all the miracles that God has done in your life, what in the world are you still sitting in your seat for? Why are you still standing in your space? You ought to say, Lord, I trust you to work it out. Whatever it is you need the Lord to do, I need you to bring it to this altar tonight. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Whatever you need the Lord to do. If you believe that he's able, you need to understand that while you're in it, you have a responsibility. John leaped even before it was his time. God Almighty. Whew. That blessed me. While he was in a dark place, couldn't see his way through, he was still leaping. While he was in the development process, while God was still working it out. Ah, Lord. I know you've prayed and you think that that's all you got to do. But how many know praise and prayer go together? They like a good tag team. If you pray and God has heard your prayer, when you start praising him, that lets God know you got faith enough to believe that he's able. I wish I had a witness right there. That's why David says, I'm going to bless him at all times. In spite of what Absalom is going to do, in spite of what Saul is going to do, I'm going to still bless the Lord. I ain't going to worry about that. My focus is on what God is able to do, not what folk can do. I wish I had a witness here that knows God is greater than your enemy. God's power can do anything but fail.
And if you put your trust in God, I know, I wish I had a real witness here that knows he can heal anything. He can deliver you from anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So you ought to come tonight believing that God is able. 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 The Lord just told me to tell somebody tonight, if you drink more water, you lose some of that problem that you got. I received that word myself. You know, sometimes the answer is so simple, but we skip it looking for deep things. Ah, boy. That's what he's saying about that back problem. More water. You don't drink a lot of water, do you? Do you? You do? He's saying more water. Do you drink anything sweet? Not much. Every now and then? Okay. Water. 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 The Lord told me to tell you, if you just let it go, he'll work it out. He said, you got to take your hands out of it. Whoever it is you've been trying to take care of and worry about and praying and crying and hocking and spitting, and they ain't just no changing. He said, you got to let it go. Let him handle it. Take your hands off of it. When you get to the end of your rope, sometimes it's not best to tie a knot and hang on. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. You got to let him have his way. And I promise you, he'll work it out. He said, if you let it go for 7 days, you'll see a difference. You'll see a difference. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's getting ready to make a big step. You're getting ready to make a big move. You're getting ready to do something that seems simple to do because you didn't figure it out in your head. But God didn't tell you to do it. You're moving in dangerous territories. He said, if you just wait on me, and my go-ahead, I'll work everything out, and you won't have to figure nothing out. He said, wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. He said, don't do it yet. Don't do it until he gives you the go-ahead. Every open door is not God. Same thing John had to do. John had to wait until he was full term before he came out. He was just patient. And in the meantime, he just praised him. Lord told me to tell whoever that is, just keep praising me. And when it's time, I'll let you know. Then you ain't got to go back to where you were. That's somebody's word tonight. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to pray. Listen, I need you to grab hold with someone's hand nearby. And I need you to look at them and say, I'm praying for you. Ah, God. Come on, tell them. Say, I need God to bring you out. I need God to do it for you. I don't want him to just deliver you, but I don't ever want you to have to go back to where you are right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I don't want to move too far forward because the Lord gave me a word for this week. But he's telling me to say something about it now, about Greater Brookville. The Lord has said that you have been patient in waiting for it to happen. You can figure out what the it is. Because y'all know what y'all been praying for. But the Lord told me to tell you it's getting ready to happen. Ah, Lord. The it that you've been praying for, it's getting ready to happen. Joshua said in Joshua 3:5, he says, tell the people, sanctify themselves, for on tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. It's getting ready to happen. Our Lord, thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy and the movement of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the operation of your gifts. I trust you. And I thank you. Lord, I ask now that whoever it is that's going through those issues, those problems, those things, whoever it is, God, that's living in terror and fear in their house that's present, I come against that terror, that fear that they have to live in.